Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Royal Caribbean's WOW sale is back. Right now, get 30% off every guest and up to $300 to spend at sea on Royal Caribbean's Anthem or Adventure of the Seas, both sailing from the New York area, starting from $99 per day. Discover how much adventure you can fit in one vacation with the WOW sale. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. This offer ends today, so visit royalcaribbean.com or call your travel agent today. Offer ends February 11th. Prices are per person, double occupancy, interior room. Reflect savings subject to availability. Taxes, fees, and port expenses. Additional restrictions apply. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest discount tire dealer. We honor every manufacturer's rebate and all our competitors' rebates, too. For the guaranteed lowest price, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody! Town Fair
Tire! Get the big company benefits of your dreams at rates your business can afford. JustWorks.com/radio.
And 2020 Sports Time 8:02. Multiple reports say 31-year-old right-handed pitcher Yu Darvish is headed to the Cubs on a 6-year, $126 million contract. Yankees were a possible destination. The Bombers and the Mets, they begin spring training this week. Giants were reportedly denied permission to interview Vikings quarterback coach Kevin Stefanski for their offensive coordinator opening. Philadelphia running backs coach Deuce Staley rumored to be in interest of Pat Shurmur. The United States is on the board at the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. 17-year-old Red Girard of Colorado capturing gold in slope-style snowboarding. Meantime, over in college basketball...
Well, how about this for a response? St. John's loses its first 11 conference games. They knock off Duke. They knock off top-ranked Villanova. And now Shamari Pines with a 44-point afternoon as the Red Storm turn back Marquette 86-78.
John Minko calling the Johnnies third win in a row on the St. John's IMG Sports Network. Pines with a Carneseca Arena record for points in a contest. Seton Hall just short of Georgetown, 83-80. Rutgers a 67-55 loss to Nebraska. UConn was beaten by number 22 Wichita State, 95-74. Hofstra, no match for UNC Wilmington, 90-70. Manhattan over Monmouth, 93-76. Iona beats St. Peter's, 86-77. And Fordham routed Duquesne, 80-57. The 2018 Snow Bowl is almost here. Don't miss your chance to play on the field at MetLife Stadium, March 9th through 11th, as the New York Giants host the 6-on-6 flag football tournament benefiting Special Olympics New Jersey. For more information and to register your team today, visit njsnowbowl.org. That's njsnowbowl.org. 46, light rain in Central Park, and that's what's happening. I'm Dave Uram with 2020 Sports on WFAN, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66. You can now listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere by downloading the all-new radio.com app.
This is The Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about the sport of lacrosse. Now, everyone in amateur and youth sports knows that over the last couple of decades, lacrosse has just exploded in popularity, not just in the traditional areas here on the East Coast, but pretty much all over the country, including the Midwest and the Far West. You know, the truth is, everywhere you go now, you see kids carrying lacrosse sticks. It's become very much commonplace. And not just boys' lacrosse, but girls' lacrosse as well. In fact, you know, my own two daughters both played lacrosse in high school, and Samantha was actually good enough, my younger one, to go on and play lacrosse in college. In many ways, it's as though lacrosse suddenly became viewed as a new novelty, a new sport for kids in which to chase athletic scholarships as college programs began to pop up and grow everywhere. And there was a rush from college coaches, of course, to find the best players at very young ages and to offer scholarships to kids early in their high school careers. The result? Well, a lot of confusion and a lot of questions. But look, I'm getting ahead of myself. On today's show, we're going to talk with the head coach of Princeton University's men's lacrosse program, Matt Matalon, who will answer my questions and will presumably answer your questions as well at 1-877-337-6666. That's brought to you, of course, by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. But first, a little personal background. The last time I saw Matt Matalon, he was playing youth hockey with my son up in Darien, Connecticut, back when John and Matt were both in middle school. But since those ice hockey days, Matt went on to become an All-American goalie at Roanoke College, played in Major League Lacrosse, and now he's in his third year as a head coach at Princeton. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for getting up on this very gloomy Sunday morning, Matt, to talk about lacrosse. And, you know, I have a lot of questions, a lot of territory to cover with you. But the first question I have to ask you is, I haven't seen you in a long time since you were playing hockey. I remember you as a pretty prolific goal scorer as a wing. How did you become a goalie? How did you go from scoring goals in ice hockey to becoming a goalie in lacrosse?
You know, it's funny. There's a ton of crossover in that sport. But when it came down to, you know, picking up the game of lacrosse, you know, we grew up playing baseball, you know, my father and everything and all my brothers. And when it came up to picking lacrosse, it was a position where, you know, the current team had a void, and, you know, it's a lot of eye-hand coordination. So I was just lucky to have the opportunity and then kind of exploded in the position. So definitely a little different from hockey, but there is a lot of crossover. So,
well, I was going to say, most people who know, obviously, who've grown up with ice hockey or lacrosse, they obviously are comparable in terms of the approach, both, you know, offensively and defensively. But being a goalie in lacrosse, man, that's a tough job, right?
It is. I'd have to say it's one of the more challenging positions in all of sports. I think that, you know, outside of the quarterback in the NFL and a handful of others, but sure, I mean, you're not wearing a lot of pads. That ball's moving, you know, as they've changed the stick dynamics, these guys can shoot it upwards of 100 miles an hour. So it was, you know, I got a lot of good teaching along the way, and I was fortunate for my coaches that helped me through it.
All right, let me ask you a dumb question, because I did not play lacrosse growing up. As I said, my two daughters played. So I had to sort of learn the sport as I watched them progress. But if you're a goalie in lacrosse, as you just mentioned, I mean, the ball is zinging around 100 miles an hour, and it's a solid rubber ball. Doesn't that thing hurt? If you don't have much pads on your legs or your knees, if you get winged by one of those balls, doesn't that hurt like hell?
Oh, it absolutely does. They've always categorized those lacrosse goalies and hockey goalies as being a little nutty. I'd like to hope I changed the profile there. You know, I think I tried to bring a little more skill to the position, but no, it absolutely does. That ball does hurt. You know, these young guys that are growing up in the position, they're tough little guys, and they take a beating throughout their careers.
I've watched a lot of lacrosse. As I said, I don't see, I know the ball, if it hits the goalie, you know, it has to sting a little bit, but none of these guys seem to. I guess it's all part of the whole persona. You don't show any pain. Don't try to express yourself when you're gritting your teeth.
Oh, you bet. I think you have to approach it that way.
All right, now, before I get to the calls, I want to ask you this, Matt. You know, as I mentioned in the opening, there's been a lot of, because all of a sudden lacrosse seemed to explode in popularity. So many people, so many kids now are into lacrosse, and as we've seen the huge expanse of college programs around the country, it's, you know, it's almost like we're seeing now a response from the college coaching recruiting that they're looking at trying to recruit or have been trying to recruit kids as young as eighth grade, ninth grade. I mean, tell me about that. That's been curtailed now, correct? I just want to go through this to make sure people understand what's going on.
It absolutely has, and I'm happy to share, and I appreciate you asking me about it. You know, the lacrosse, it's still in its elementary growth in terms of the rules, and we're trying to get everything organized from all different levels, but the recruiting piece has been the priority. In years past, you've been able to contact prospective student-athletes as young as 8th and 9th grade, and that may not be coaches contacting, but you may be able to receive calls from them. In recent legislation, they've passed that it bans all college lacrosse coaches from contacting prospective student-athletes until September 1 of their junior year. And what that's done, honestly, it's a breath of fresh air for everyone. Mm-hmm. It allows the coaches to see these guys matriculate as not only students but athletes as well. And then it allows the student-athlete to kind of grow. And it's not necessarily the best 8th or 9th grader that's going to end up with a scholarship now. It's the young man or young woman that continues to progress and continues to, you know, develop athletically and buckle down in the classroom that's going to earn themselves opportunities. So it takes a little pressure off both sides. It moves it. It condenses it a little later in their athletic career. But I think we're going to go hopefully push more towards the football model as guys, as men and women deciding, you know, almost upwards of their late junior, senior year.
Yeah, I you know, it always seemed to me to be, you know, what's the rush? What's the urgency? Obviously, we know that the coaches who are eager to get their programs on the map are going to go out and try to populate and try to recruit with spot talent at a very young age. But as we all know, so many things happen between the time a kid is in 8th and 9th grade to the time they're a junior or senior. It just makes all the sense in the world. So I am glad to hear that it's been capped by the NCAA, and now she says there can't be any outreach until September 1st of the student's junior year. That makes all the sense in the world, and pretty much puts all the coaching and the college programs on an equal playing field as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think that's great. And I'm glad you mentioned also that it's not just the men, it's the women as well, because obviously women's lacrosse has also just exploded in popularity as well. So that's good. Let me ask you this also. When it comes to recruiting, how do you – and again, we're talking, by the way, this morning with Matt Madelon, who is the head men's lacrosse coach at Princeton. Because of this has been a sea change with the sport and recruiting – what is the philosophy? What do you guys do at Princeton in terms of, you know, going out and scouring the countryside to find prospects? Is there any particular, I mean, when you sit down with your coaching staff, how do you go about doing this in terms of scanning everybody out who wants to play lacrosse?
Sure, it's an incredible task. You know, as a staff, it takes up a huge chunk of our time. You know, we try to canvas the country, and you're not able to go out and watch every single student athlete and every single young lacrosse player. So you rely a lot on relationships,
right,
between club coaches and high school coaches. And then throughout the summer, we have two major recruiting periods. One is in late November, which I would say is a point of contention as well, because it's pulling young athletes away from other sports as they need to focus on a small recruiting window. Mm-hmm. And then the larger recruiting window is actually in the summer months of June and July. And that's where we as college coaches, we travel the country, going to different showcases, different tournaments, and just evaluating these young guys athletically. So, you know, at that point, again, we try to approach it where, you know, we'll look at the hotbeds, we'll look at the major clubs as they develop and come through the ranks. But you can find great lacrosse players anywhere in the country. And, you know, right now, a lot of it, in our day and age with the internet and YouTube and all these videos, you know, these young student athletes are able to put together these online profiles, which also gives us a great snapshot into the recruiting piece.
So you do, in fact, look at these the kids, or they work through their some sort of like online services. They do send you highlight reels. That's important for you and your staff?
It absolutely is. You know, there are two ways to go about the online piece. You know, you can set up your profile within one of these services, and they do a great job of reaching out and targeting the schools that these student athletes are, you know, are on trajectory to meet. And then you can write personal emails to the coaching staffs. You know, all of our emails are listed, or most of them are, online on our staff directory. And then, you know, if you're able to put, you know, a little personal touch about, say, Princeton University and why you're interested in it, and, you know, whether it's this major or that major or this piece of the program, you know, it does strike a chord with the coaches, because it does take a little extra effort to do that. So, but really, you know, there's no rock unturned. We try to look at every opportunity, and, you know, everyone's trying to find that diamond in the rough.
We're talking with Matt Madelon, the head lacrosse coach at Princeton. And, yes, we are going to take calls at 1-877-672-7464. 337-6666 here on the Fan. In fact, let's start this morning with Roger, who's calling from Wisconsin. Roger, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. Good morning, Coach. Yeah. So I'm out here in Wisconsin. I got out here from Jersey about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I started a youth. I had 17 kids. Now we got 100 in the program. So that just shows you what it's growing like. I'm worried about the same thing Rick talks about in soccer, where the strategy to run spring travel at the youth level, travel type, you know, teams as opposed to neighborhood-based teams that are affordable. And it seems like U.S. Lacrosse is kind of endorsing that a little bit. Maybe you could speak about it.
Sure. Well, first off, you know, thank you for the good work and spreading the game. I think that it's something that as our game grows, we continue to need folks like you that head out there in the non-traditional areas and get student and get young guys playing. It's really different. You know, there's been a huge push in the club circuit. And, you know, it's a little bit of the Wild West out there in our game right now because there are a lot of opportunities to make money and pull dollars from this game. And there's not a true structure or path as they continue to change the rules. I think that, you know, the club coaches and these club programs that begin, you know, they're hoped to provide the opportunity that they can get guys from Wyoming or Wisconsin or, you know, in terms of California and get them east. So that's one route of it. You know, the other piece of it, and I can't speak directly to how U.S. Lacrosse is endorsing it. I think that everyone's trying to get their heads around what truly is the best approach. Because, you know, as much as, you know, I won't be able to get to Wisconsin maybe to watch these young guys play high school lacrosse, but maybe I can watch it on tape now, you know, or maybe if you're able to come east, you're able to travel to a tournament and bring these guys, you know, for the right cost, you know, it may be able to provide them a different opportunity. So again, I appreciate you getting it done out there.
Hey, Coach, if I get one with the grades, he's going to Brown first, then I'll
That hurts.
Well, Roger, you were doing just great to that last comment, but thank you for the call this morning. Take care. Oh, my goodness. Well, there you go. Yes, we're talking about competitive Ivy League lacrosse, and we're talking with Coach Madelon from Princeton. All right. Matt, stay with us, of course. When we return from some commercial messages and Dave Uram's sports update, we'll continue our conversation with Coach Madelon. 1-877-337-6666. And back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking this morning with Matt Madelon. He's the head coach of Princeton men's lacrosse. And before I get back to the calls, when preparing my notes for the show this morning, I was thinking about the Madelon family. And I mentioned, of course, that Matt had played hockey with my son some years ago in the youth leagues up in Darien, Connecticut. But I also coached Matt's uncle, Scott Madelon, who, when Scott pitched for me at Mercy College back in the day, and Scott was an absolute flamethrower, one of the greatest and toughest competitors I ever had when I coached at Mercy. And Matt's other uncle, Howie, was also a top-flight ball player as well. I also had the opportunity to get to know Matt's dad, Joe Madelon, when Matt and my son were playing up in Darien. And it's been a terrific ride for me to get the chance to know so many members of the Madelon family. Matt, I want to get back to some recruiting questions, but I also want to get some calls here as well at 1-877-337-6666. Let's go up to Yorktown. Joe, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Good, good. Coach, it's an honor to talk to you. Rick, I wanted to just kind of clarify what that last caller said about U.S. lacrosse endorsing this model. I actually think nothing could be further from the truth. I wear many hats involved with youth lacrosse, high school lacrosse, and now I'm getting involved with U.S. lacrosse as a national trainer. And one of the things that they are actually advocating is this thing called the athletic development model, which is age-appropriate instruction to kids coming up through the game, which has nothing to do with endorsing the club market or anything like that. Unfortunately, our sport has grown at such a level that I actually say, and I've actually said this on your show before, to the point of its own detriment, where there's a vacuum and that's being filled by commercial programs that are making good money, in my opinion, misleading people. And it comes down to what it really, the solution to that, which is stuff that you've talked about many times before, is really comes down to education. It's people getting an education as to what really, navigating their way through this mess that's out there that you alluded to earlier in the show. It's really just getting an education. The information's out there. They just got to go find it.
Yeah, Joan, I'll chime in before I let Matt speak about this as well. But obviously, again, the sport has grown so dramatically, as you know. It's been, I think, a little bit challenging for U.S. lacrosse to try to fill in all the holes and gaps when it comes to getting good, solid programs out there. As Matt mentioned earlier, you know, the people are going to step into the breach and put together travel programs or camps, whatever, where they feel that, they feel like they're doing something right for kids who want to aspire on lacrosse. Obviously, there's a profit motive as well. But, yeah, it's still in the process of being sorted out and developing. And Matt, what's your sense? I mean, is U.S. lacrosse doing enough here to sort of make sure that all the points are covered?
You know, Joe, thanks for calling in. And I do think they are. And I think Joe makes a great point. I think that when it shakes out, and this almost parallels the recruiting rules, is as these club teams have emerged, it's a major focus on tournaments and games putting a game product on the field where as U.S. lacrosse has taken the approach of the educational development piece, that's what we were hoping to do almost peripherally with the recruiting rules. If we bump these back, then there's less focus on these teams putting together, you know, these young guys showing up to practice, just preparing to play a game, instead of developing their skills and growing truly through the sport as young guys, young boys, all the way through, you know, adolescent high school age and then into the recruiting realm. So I think that's a great point. I think U.S. lacrosse, and Joe, again, thank you for the good work. I think that that's awesome. I think that as guys, you know, as more people get out there, and you're in a hotbed of lacrosse, and for it to almost reset in a place like Yorktown. I mean, Yorktown is those are storied programs around that area, high school programs. So for it to reset and go to the educational piece, that's a breath of fresh air, and I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. More like a dirty little secret. Lacrosse is, as much as the sport's growing, it also suffers from one of the highest attrition rates, where according to U.S. lacrosse, nationally, 75% of the kids that join in third and fourth grade drop out by the time they're in seventh and eighth grade. So the growth, you know, it's not linear. So there is some it resets itself as they get later. And U.S. lacrosse is trying to keep more kids active and involved with the program by having a model in place. Like I said, it's age-appropriate instruction so that ultimately at the end we're also putting a better product on the field at the high school level, not the college level.
Just a quick question, guys. Why do you think that there's such a precipitous drop-off? Is it because of the sport gets expensive or because kids just have other interest?
I think you're spot on. I think a little bit is the monetary value of it. I think that, you know, when a helmet costs a couple hundred dollars and then you've got to piecemeal, you know, the equipment together. And there are some guys out there, specifically a former Princeton alum who started the Warrior Company, and they're going to do a good job. They're making a new push with New Balance to kind of spread the game at an elementary level for a lower cost. I think that's going to be a big piece of it too. And then I think it comes with the educational piece. I think that as this sport has exploded, you know, there aren't as many folks getting back in and teaching the fundamentals of it.
Yeah. Hey, Joe,
That's exactly it.
Joe, let me run on, but thank you as always for the call. Okay. Let me move on. Thank you, Joe. Take care. Let's move on. Let's go to Ivan over in Pennington. Ivan, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Matt, good morning. My son grew up actually here in the Princeton area, Pennington, New Jersey, Princeton area, and played a lot of local lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a great experience. He wasn't the greatest guy on the team, but he was able to go to college. Matter of fact, played at Colorado State. I don't know, Matt, if you know the program at
Absolutely.
Colorado State. And he actually ended up winning an NCAA championship, which was an incredible experience. But my real question is, do you have any pressure yourself taking over a Princeton program that obviously was started and grown by Bill Tierney?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, look, I've always thought in this profession, you want to be at the best, you want to be at the best places. And if that's having a bullseye in your back and the pressure of succession, you know, and the pressure of winning, I think that's outstanding. I think that, you know, that's what drives me every day. And I think that, you know, Bill Tierney did an outstanding job laying the foundation and creating an outstanding tradition here and a history and a tradition of winning at the highest level, both on the field and in the classroom. And that's the true Ivy League model, and that's specifically the Princeton model. So to be able to take over a program with that storied tradition and that history behind it, it's motivating every day. I get to walk into my office every day and stare at six national championships.
Yeah, I think he's also had a great idea and bringing the love of lacrosse to the West Coast as he took over Denver, and he's grown that program immensely.
An absolute pioneer. We couldn't be happier to have him, you know, in our coach's body and for what he does for the game every single year. You know, not only with the rules and the recruiting piece, but how he's spread the game. And, you know, he's now influential in starting the box lacrosse game out west and growing that as well. So he's done such an outstanding job for our game of lacrosse. We're indebted to him over here at Princeton, but we're happy that he's a former Tiger.
Yeah. Hey, Ivan, thanks for the call. You know, it's funny you mentioned, like, look, we're talking about elite lacrosse programs, and obviously Coach Tierney had great success at Princeton, and you know, Matt is there now in his third year, and yeah, as Matt said, Matt's a competitive guy, no question about it. You're looking at a great history of a lot of championships, but that's, as you said, Matt, that's what it comes to. And when you're playing sports at a high level, you embrace that. You deal with that. You say, look, we're gonna keep the momentum going. It's as simple as that. Now, I mentioned earlier on the show, you were a goalie. You were an All-American in college at Roanoke, which is a Division III program. Can you talk for a second about the differences with lacrosse at a D1, where you're coaching now as a player at D3? Because a lot of kids, a lot of parents just don't understand if there really is a significant difference. And the thing I talk about all the time on this show is that, you know, so many kids, so many other parents think going from high school where you're a star to playing D3, it's just like an automatic jump. It's just not a big deal. It's just a natural part of the progression. But we both know that D3 is very, very competitive, particularly in lacrosse.
It absolutely is, and I appreciate you asking me about it. You know, I started at Division I Hofstra University and transferred to Division III. I've coached at both levels, so I have the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then being able to play professionally. And I played professionally alongside of both Division I, Division II, Division III. And Ivan had mentioned his son MCLA championship out at Colorado College. We have those guys in the realm as well. So as the cream rises to the top, you know, it's the best players in the world. They're going to find their way to the professional ranks.
Yep.
But in terms of the Division I, Division III comparison, there is a perception that Division III is so much less in terms of Division I, in terms of the time commitment, athleticism. And that's not the case. I think whether you're at Princeton, Syracuse Division I level, or you're at Roanoke College or Stevens Tech at the Division III level, you know, it's once you get into your spring season, it's a full-time job. It's the same thing. It's about balancing, you know, your academics and your athletics, and then there's not a lot of time for anything else. It's the true difference is in the fall season. There are Division III models where most Division III teams have 16 fall practices, and they spread that over 4 weeks. And the reason why they do that is it gives you a snapshot of what it's like to be a college athlete so that you can prepare yourself for the spring. There's also Division III, the NESCAC model, which is the New England Small School Conference up there in terms of Middlebury, Tufts, those schools, where Bowdoin, where they actually don't have a fall season. They focus on the students, they focus on being student athletes, and then they come back and it's just a spring season. And a lot of where that shakes out, and a lot of those guys that play in those leagues end up in the pros too, but a lot of where that shakes out is just, it's the student athlete in his decision time of where he wants to have his time commitment and what experience. Both experiences, like I said, in the spring are very intense and very take up a ton of your time. But it's in the fall season where the difference between Division I and Division III really shakes out.
And speaking of the fall campaign, the fall practices, what do you guys do at Princeton in the fall?
So at Princeton, we're limited by the Ivy League, and it's a model we stand for where it almost models more of the Division III realm, where we're actually allowed 12 dates in the fall, And then outside of those 12 dates, we're allowed individual work. So what it does is, again, it is closer to the Division III level where we want they want their students to come in, focus on being a student first, get a feel for it, and then move on to the athletic piece. And it's a model I truly believe in. I think it's a great balance, you know, for the students, for young men and women. You know, and I'm proud to be a part of the Ivy League.
All right, let's get back to our calls. Let's go to our good friend Terry up in Armenia. Terry, I know Princeton, your ears must have been
class
burning.
Class of 1970, Coach.
Class of 1970,
wonderful.
Princeton Tigers.
Yep, go Tigers, number one. Number two, Coach Wolf's brother is a classmate.
Yes.
And I am sure, Coach, that you know a very good friend of mine in my class, Kirk Unruh.
I absolutely do. Kirk's been wonderful for our program. He continues to do wonderful things for not only our program but our university as well.
One of the all-time greats. The only problem is you can never pin him down to have a drink or a meal. He's too damn big.
You're absolutely right.
On another topic, a little bit more serious, if you will, another one of my classmates, whom I think played varsity lacrosse when we were at Princeton, Mario Boyardi, had a very talented son named George who was killed in a game at Cornell, as I'm sure you know.
Absolutely.
When the ball hit his chest in such a way that it stopped his heart, would you please explain to me why lacrosse players, male or female, are not required to wear chest protectors?
So, it's a great question, and they've changed the rules slightly in terms of the equipment mandates, in terms of sternum protectors. Women's lacrosse, I can't speak to it directly, but in terms of men's lacrosse, specifically goalies, which it's unfortunately happened to a handful of young goalies throughout the past few years, they've done a great job. The equipment manufacturers, have done a great job of really padding the sternum and putting certain protectors there around the chest. And you know, we mandate our guys to wear chest pads and shoulder pads and stuff for that reason. It was a really freak accident, really unfortunate.
It certainly was. George was a great kid. And Mario and I were very close friends in college and have remained friends ever since.
Yeah, Terry, thank you for that call.
Thank you very much.
Take care. You bet. And we're talking about, if you're not familiar, the medical term is commotio cordis. It's something that we've covered in the shows in the past, and it's basically a situation where a lacrosse ball hits a player in the chest, in the sternum area, it's a freak kind of accident, but it hits during the middle of a heartbeat, which causes like an immediate heart attack, and it's fatal. It does unfortunately happen, as Terry mentioned, happened to the son of one of his friends. A kid played at Cornell, and as Matt just mentioned, it happens obviously with the goalies as well, because obviously the ball is coming at a tremendous, rapid, pace. But as you said, Matt, they're doing things to try to put like a plate in front of that sternum so these things can be prevented or at least curtailed to a certain extent.
Yes, they are. I mean, look, like you had mentioned, it is somewhat of a freak accident, but there are always steps to prepare yourself for those actions.
All right, let me take a pause here. We're talking with Matt Matalon, head coach of Princeton men's lacrosse. After we return from the sports update, we'll continue to take your calls here at 1-877-337-6666. Stay with me.
New York.
And no question that spring training is just a few days away. And to that end, this morning at 9 o'clock, I invite you to join my colleague Ed Randall, who'll be talking baseball as he does every spring and summer here on The Fan, again at 9 o'clock this morning. Also, I, as always, I invite you to check out my website and blog at AskCoachWolf.com. And, watching the Olympics the last few days and watching in particular the figure skaters, and we all know that this is so pressure-packed, and they go out and these men and women have spent literally years and years and years of their lives trying to perfect their performances, and now it comes down to the major spotlight of the Olympics, and it's so heartbreaking to see them go out and do their various routines, and sometimes they fall. And you know, you sit there, and if you're like me, your heart breaks when they take a spill. And you know, I one of the reasons why I wrote my book about the secrets of sports psychology reveal is we all want our athletes to be able to perform at their peak and consistent level best. And clearly, these figure skaters who have put so many hours of effort into this, you wonder how they prepare. And I'm sure all of these competitors have sports psychologists who are working with them to optimize and maximize their consistency. But man, oh man, that's what we want our kids to do. And obviously the ones who end up winning the gold or silver or bronze medals are the ones who do compete under pressure and don't have any spills. It's a remarkable kind of mental process. And that's why in my book, which I mentioned to you, it's you really have to have a sense of working on the mental skills as well as your own physical skills. And by the way, I know I made that offer last week here on the show about people who order so many copies of my book. I got a tremendous, overwhelming response to that offer. Don't worry, I will be back in touch with you. Just give me a chance to go through all the various emails. I'll be back in touch about making good on my promise. Okay, we're talking with Matt Matalon this morning, the Princeton men's lacrosse coach, and we're taking calls here at 1-877-337-6666. Matt, let's get back to our callers. Let's go to Louie out in Long Beach, Long Island. Louie, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. I want to say hello to both of you, and I really love your program. My question today is, I'm very concerned about the hitting in the game of lacrosse. I'm concerned about the concussions.
Yep.
I happen to be a head lacrosse coach in the Westchester area at Keough Academy, and I'd like to know your opinion of what you think about the hitting in the game of lacrosse. I think the game, just one more thing, I think the game is a skill game. I think the hitting should be banned from lacrosse. I know that's extreme, but I leave you with that response.
Okay, Louie, that's a fair question. Matt, I saw that into two angles here. One, of course, about it's a skill sport, so Louie feels, and he's actually suggested they should ban hitting. I'm not sure that's going to happen or happen soon. And two, about the concussion issue. What are your thoughts on both those topics?
Louie, appreciate the call and the question. To tell you the truth, you're spot on. It is a skilled game. And, I've always compared growing up, around the game of hockey, you're not allowed to hit until you reach a certain age in hockey.
Right.
So it teaches you almost how to play the skilled piece of the game first. And then as you grow and mature, you're actually taught then how to add the physical piece into it. You know, lacrosse, it's really interesting. So, here at Princeton University, we're very privileged to be able to take part in certain NCAA studies. And one of them has been the concussion study. We've got very forward-thinking doctors, and we've got a great medical staff. And what our guys have done is actually they've worn these monitors behind their ears over the past handful of years. And Louie, to your point is, and what we've tried to track is actually where the head contact is happening. Is it happening around the face-off X, around certain ground balls, and have they tweaked the rules to prevent that? Is it happening, as players are running in front of the cage and getting hit with the ball? Is it happening in certain ground ball areas on the field where there's more of a physical nature, more of a violent part of the game? So we've done a good job tracking that, and I'd imagine those studies will come out soon enough. But, it's an unfortunate piece of the game. I know that, with our roster, we can't afford to lose guys, and we don't want to, we don't want young men dealing with the concussion piece, young men or women. So, as extreme as it is, it's not that ridiculous of a thought to think that they could take hitting out of the game. I'm not sure it's necessary, but it is, as of right now, it does bring an exciting piece to the game. But as the concussion studies shake out and as they start to monitor this, it's teaching these young men and women, young men, there's no hitting in the women's game, but if there is hitting and it does stay throughout our rules, teaching them how and where to properly do it, but also really distinguishing, in terms of our concussions, just in my experience, some of it has been the physical piece, and then some of it has been, the stick to the head, the ball to the head.
Right.
So I think, I think we're on the right track, and I do appreciate the question.
Well, you mentioned, of course, about the women's game, and traditionally, of course, where there is contact, physical contact, in the men's game or at the high school level with boys, certainly with women and the girls in high school, and I mentioned this, my own two daughters played, there is no physical contact allowed. And, of course, there's always a debate about whether or not, and again, I know you're a men's coach, not a women's coach, but about whether or not the women should be forced to wear, some sort of helmet to protect themselves or from concussions. And it's curiously, in my experience in talking to the coaches, the women or the girls who have played, they seem to be against that rule. They think that if you start using helmets in the girls' sport, you're going to end up having even more contact and more injuries. It's a real conundrum, and I don't know how this is going to play out.
You're spot on. I think with, you know, and it's actually New York State was, you know, very forward thinking, and they've pushed the helmets
yes.
in youth girls lacrosse and women's lacrosse. And actually, you know, I saw a clip the other day of Syracuse University. A handful of their girls were wearing these modified helmets.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, you're spot on. There is a protection piece, but there's also, you know, a change in level of aggression. If all of a sudden you're now wearing a helmet, you're going to take a lot of different chances, which could impact and change the game as well. So, you're, you know, your point's very well taken.
All right, let me because I'm watching the clock here, Matt. I do want to ask you about things like the shot clock, you know, and what's happening with shot clocks in lacrosse these days. And if are we looking to anticipate changes with this?
I think we are. I think that, you know, our governing body meets once a year. That's our coach's governing body, and
yep.
and we talk about different rules that could impact the game. But it's more at a larger scale. It's a larger lens. We're trying to figure out how we can grow the game, you know, at the youth level and continue to grow it nationally and internationally. And I think that, you know, a shot clock, it would help our game, and I think that it's moving in that direction. I think that, you know, our biggest issue with the rules right now is that, you know, we've got folks out coaching all over the country, coaching youth lacrosse, you know, and they play one set of rules, and those officials learn one set of rules. And then there's the high school lacrosse, and there's a different set of rules there. And then there's the pro lacrosse, and there's a little different set of rules there. And then there's international lacrosse, and there's a little different set of rules there. So I think that, you know, again, if there were a hypothetical question, if I were in charge and I could change one rule, I would say I would try to make it universal so that young men can learn the game at one set of rules and grow and play all the way through, and officials as well, which would make our game a heck of a lot better, you know, and not put these guys, you know, at a disadvantage right off the bat. So, but I do think you will see a shot clock in men's NCAA college lacrosse very soon.
Are you in favor of that?
You know, I am, and I'm, you know, I sit on both sides of the fence. I think that there is, you know, there is a strategy to being able to coach your team and understand the tempo and really whether if you're a slow down and you want to control the pace of the game and limit possessions, I think there's coaching strategy behind that. I think that, you know, adding the shot clock could make it more exciting. And we've got a little bit, you know, we've got a little snapshot into a study with the women's lacrosse at women's NCAA lacrosse adding a shot clock, and it didn't necessarily raise scoring 5-10 goals per game. It might have raised it 1 or 2 goals per game, but it did in terms of possessions and shots. It could be deemed as more exciting. And, you know, look, when it comes down to it, our sport needs better TV coverage and more growth there. So I think that the more exciting we can make our game, and that may be a big push for it. So both sides of the fence, but I'd be in favor of the shot clock.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking about, and this is obviously a rough analogy, is because there are so many parallels between ice hockey and lacrosse. Obviously, there's no shot clock in ice hockey. You know, and everybody knows ice hockey, the scores can change very, very quickly. But maybe with lacrosse, it's you know, as you said, you're looking at this both ways. Maybe it makes the game more exciting. Does a sport need the shot clock? I just don't know. I'm not that familiar with the sport as well as you are, let's say. But I mean, the point is, it seems to be a pretty exciting sport already.
You're absolutely right. It is. I mean, it's a very fast-paced sport. And again, the difference between hockey and lacrosse is, you know, we've always related is, you know, lacrosse is almost upside-down hockey. You're controlling an object out of vision. It's a lot of read-and-react situations. But the puck doesn't leave the surface in hockey very often, where the ball is constantly going out of bounds. And you can control the ball a lot more in lacrosse in terms of personal ball control. Whereas in hockey, you know, it's very quick read-and-react situations. No one's really holding onto the puck for that long. So, you know, and there's less strategies of really in hockey of really being able to manipulate time of possession. So I think that it will. I think it'll help our game. I think it'll help the pace. You know, and I'm excited to see where it takes us.
Hey, last question, Matt. What about, you know, we see, of course, analytics has totally infiltrated most of the other sports like baseball and basketball and football. Analytics happening in lacrosse, too?
It is, and it's elementary growth, but it is happening. There have been a handful of different outlets that have kind of tackled it, whether it's time of possession, pace, efficiency, strength of schedule. I'd say we're, you know, a handful of years into it, and I think as our sport continues to grow and more people dive into this, I think that we'll really be able to pull some of the analytic pieces. I know we use them as coaches, specifically our staff. We look at a lot of different analytics to find our strength, weaknesses, deficiencies, and where we also can exploit our opponents. But I think from a larger scale outlet, I think it's starting to happen. So, again, I appreciate it. No, it's moving in that direction.
Hey, Matt, this has really been enlightening and personally for me, most enjoyable to have a chance to talk to you this morning. Obviously, have a great season this year over at Princeton. Obviously, I know you guys had an excellent year last year, and I know things are looking promising for this year as well. But again, my thanks for taking some time this morning to come on and talk about Princeton lacrosse.
Rick, thanks so much for having me. True honor. You know, I appreciate it. I love the connection, you know, of our families, and I look forward to connecting. And again, thank you again, and go Tigers.
Thanks, Matt. That, of course, is Matt Madeline. He is the head lacrosse coach of the men's program at Princeton University, and we covered a lot of issues and topics this morning, and certainly Matt knows his stuff, as you can tell, and, of course, brings tremendous enthusiasm and passion to his sport. Okay, let me take a timeout. I'll be back.
Truck driver Schneider has recently announced numerous driver pay upgrades, and they'll be holding driver hiring events soon. Meet one-on-one with a local Schneider recruiter on February 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hampton Inn at 680 Comac Road in Comac. Get full hiring event and driving job info, including higher pay and limited time bonuses, at SchneiderJobs.com. That's SchneiderJobs.com.
Town Fair Tire became New England's number one discount tire dealer by giving you the absolute lowest prices guaranteed. And with 96 stores from Connecticut to Maine, we'll beat anybody's price. And we mean anybody. Other dealers, we beat them. Warehouse clubs, we beat them. Online sites, we beat them all every day. So remember, for the absolute guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
2 years is a long time. So imagine buying a car that came with so much gas, you wouldn't have to buy more for 2 years. Kind of like the Epson EcoTank 4750 printer. Instead of ink cartridges, it has easy-to-fill ink tanks. And it comes with enough ink in the box to print for up to 2 years or up to 11,000 pages. That's equivalent to about 30 ink cartridge sets. Print totally cartridge-free with Epson EcoTank.
Get the cartridge-free EcoTank at Staples, Best Buy, and Office Depot Office Max.
Looking for ways to save with your Medicare plan? Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many of the nation's plans, which could mean lower copays for you. So bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy today to start saving. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with UnitedHealthcare, Cigna HealthSpring, and Humana. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.
Got a refrigerator that no longer does its job? That's not cool. Time to see the Home Depot. Right now, you can save up to 35% on appliance special buys, like the reliable Samsung side-by-side refrigerator in stainless steel or black stainless steel for just $998. So start fresh and save big with up to 35% off appliances now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details, valid through February 28th.
Well, we covered a lot of ground this morning talking about lacrosse, and obviously Matt, as you heard, was extremely well-versed in the sport, and we know that lacrosse is just growing by leaps and bounds, not just around here, but all over the country, and you know, I thought Matt's comments were quite on target. I mean, we're talking about everything from the fact that he feels that a shot clock will be coming in lacrosse sooner rather than later. The fact that analytics is now beginning to have some impact into the sport, which is interesting as well. Talking about, for example, he was very candid. He had gone to Hofstra originally, then ended up at Roanoke, where he was an All-American goalie. It didn't seem to bother him in his progression and his dreams to pursue a career at the professional level and played Major League Lacrosse. I mean, he was, to him, he said, look, it's all about playing time, and you got to find a program where you're going to play. and play a lot because at the end of the day, and we all know this, it's all about having fun is by playing. And in his case, it got him a chance to show what he could do, and he really did great at Roanoke, a D3 program. And, you know, now he's at Princeton where he's obviously putting a program which is going to be, very, very competitive. They had a great year last year, and things are looking good for 2018 as well. You talked about the fact that, you know, concussions, that that is still a concern. Commotio cordis, we talked about, and the fact that they're using new types of plates to protect, athletes and their sternums so they don't suffer a heart attack when they get hit by a ball, and much more. I mean, obviously, the sport of lacrosse is just growing exponentially, and if your kid is interested in playing lacrosse, yeah, get involved. Get yourself a rule book, get yourself some video, find out more about the sport because it's an extraordinarily popular sport and it's now everywhere, as simple as that. And check out U.S. Lacrosse, check out their website to get more information because, as I said, it's a wonderful sport. My own two daughters have played and loved it and still break out their sticks every so often to have a catch. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Anthony Gallo. Please stick around for Ed Randall. He is up next talking baseball. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.